Lord, I do pray that you'll bless and give very clear thinking here to me to be able to give to these dear ladies what you have for them. And Lord, encourage our hearts through truth now, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you can remember all the way back 2 weeks ago, we were looking at God is my judge. And we only took the first part of that chapter, looking at the fact of God evaluating us, especially as believers. We talked about the fact that we don't have to be fearful of penal judgment if we're truly saved, but God is constantly working in our lives and developing us. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we took some time to expand upon that. I won't go over that again. But the application of it that she makes here in this chapter is that we need to allow him to be the judge, and we must not be the judge of others. That's really the premise for the last two-thirds of this chapter, which is very, very helpful, and so we'll take some time to go through that. Inevitably in life, unfair things happen. There are things that occur that, from our perspective, is a wrong to us. And because we live on a sin-cursed planet, because people have the flesh, you know, even good Christians can sometimes make errors in what they do and say, and it can be hurtful. And the whole perspective is here is we've got to let God take care of the problem, not step in the way here and react and try to solve the problem the wrong way. Psalm 50, verse 4. And then 6 says, He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge of all. The God of heaven will do right. And there needs to be a deep rest in his care for our lives and sometimes the unfair situations that we find ourselves in. In fact, let me say it's not necessarily in this, but let me say that the trials of life often have Satan behind them. We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, which is people, but against principality, power, and so forth. So we are definitely in a spiritual battle. So to over-personalize and react to the hurts that occur in your life is to miss the spiritual battle and to be taking life into your own hands. And frankly, you just live miserably when you do that. And so it's very important. She goes on to talk about when someone has judged you wrongly, hasn't thought right about you, talked about you, and so forth, you know, that this can really weigh, and she makes it clear, particularly upon a woman, and I like the illustration she gives there. One particular night, I couldn't sleep because my mind kept rehearsing the problem. And then she, in parentheses, Ken says that a woman with a problem can be like a little raccoon with an apple. The raccoon examines it from every possible angle, takes a bite out of it, dunks it in the water, and then starts the process all over again. And so, anyway, is that true? Okay. Anyway, Ken's a pretty perceptive fellow. And there is, you know, we can just allow ourselves to go over and over and over something that just isn't fair. Don't illogical things bother you? But, you know, think about it. We do illogical things, and other people are going to do illogical things, and it doesn't make sense. And to try to figure it all out, it'll wear you out. And plus, it'll give you a wrong attitude toward the person that maybe was involved in that. Turn to Psalm 37. She gives some wonderful insight here that I'd like to pull out some of those things. So it would be good maybe to have a scripture right in front of you. I think many of you are probably aware of this psalm. It's a great blessing, and there are a lot of admonitions here about the right attitude toward the problems that we face. And right there at the beginning, the thematic part of the psalm, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against them, and so forth. But don't fret yourself. Don't glow with anger. to grow warm or burn, or to be incensed or indignant. Don't stew over the offense. And so she talks about the fact, don't have imaginary conversations with the person trying to solve the whole thing, okay? And I'm sure nobody here has ever done that, but we got to be very careful to get ourselves into a meditation upon the problem. That's fretting yourself. And honestly, it gets you nowhere. Now, sometimes you have to pray through how you're going to handle something, and you have to think it through. But that's there, a proactive, spirit-led, biblical preparation to do what you're supposed to do. But most of the time, it's just constantly having things go over in our head when things have not gone the way we would like them. So some thoughts here. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. We need to first and foremost go to the Lord and ask Him where we are wrong. Now, folks, in most cases, though there can be sometimes total unilateral hurt that occurs, there's some angle that we need to see about ourselves. And we don't need to be afraid to do that. And so we can ask the Lord without being introspective to help us see the mote that is in our eye, the beam that's in our eye. And then number 2, we need to go to the person to resolve the problem if it's something that needs to be resolved. Don't just constantly be fretting about it. In other words, give people the benefit of the doubt. Love believeth all things. I have found so many times when I heard something or something occurred and I realized that the only way to solve this is to communicate, that when I communicate with a fair hearing, there's a much different view than I let myself get a hold of. And honestly, we need to have compassion and mercy and even look at things from their point of view. Sometimes it's just going to be an offense and you've done the best you can do. But most of the time in communicating, you can solve the problem. And you've got to be willing to go into that humbly and get it solved. Some things don't need to be dealt with because they don't know. In other words, it's not really a problem. It's something you're perceiving. Then don't create a problem. But if it clearly was a hurt, something said, something done, that has to be communicated through. Still, even if they were really wrong, just hearing them, looking them in the eye, God will give you a heart, and you'll begin to put it in proportion, and it will change, and God will give you the grace to handle that. So you want to resolve it. And then, and so once you've done everything biblically, you just got to leave it in the Lord's hands. The only thing that would mean that you would need to take further action on is a Matthew 18 or a 1 Corinthians 5 issue where there is a church discipline matter at hand and you do need to go get help biblically. But most things, you just let God work in their hearts, let God take care of it. You communicate it, usually it'll help you, and then let it go. Just let it go. Some of you can't stand to let something go, because you are a problem solver. You are a person that is intense, and it bugs you to have things not worked out. I like to work things out, but there's just some things that once I've done what I can do, you know, I've got a God in heaven that knows how to handle that. And so I need to get out of the way and just let God work. So that's good. And then verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. We need to really not allow our prayer times and devotional times to be caught up with thoughts about the offense against us. You know you're in trouble when every facet of your prayer time and every facet of your Bible reading is caught up with the thought about the situation. Now, God can give you leadership through your prayer time, but it is... But most of the time, it's a troubled type of a thing, and so you're having a hard time concentrating. Delight yourself in the Lord, and you'll find that the Lord really will help you get the right. He'll give you the desires of your heart. You'll get confidence that God's going to work. And you will have thoughts of how God is going to use this in your life and in their life. The Holy Spirit should be the only person controlling you. And like she says, you've got to not get into the raccooning type of mentality. Don't let that dominate. I tell you, folks, don't be a victim. Don't let the cloud overhang all the time. You know, we just don't like, we don't like to have somebody be negative about us. I understand that. But remember what God's gone through, and remember our life is not about ourselves. It is about His purpose, and we need to grow and learn from it. And we just don't need to stew about it. We need to trust in the Lord, and that's so important. But delight yourself in the Lord. It's amazing what will happen when you really have a good time with the Lord. The greatest of burdens will dissipate. Remember that wonderful principle that we so often talk about, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be anxious for nothing. The idea there is that God is ready to carry your burden. You don't need to carry it. And as long as you know your heart is right and you've done what you know to do at that point, then let Him carry that burden. And you can be free from it. Because the problem is Satan will use your fretting and the wrong response, and then that will cause you to not have the power of God in your marriage relationships, in your children relationships, other people, and now you got complicated problems. You're just multiplying the issue in your life. Then verse 5 of chapter 37, or of Psalm 37, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And this is, emphasizes here, the fact that He will bring it to pass. So what's really the lesson we can learn from this? Pray. In other words, go from delighting in the Lord to just really depending upon Him to do a work. Listen, God knows how to work things out. And He may have to do a further work in your heart. That's good too. Whenever I'm burdened about something and I see what I consider something really unbiblical, wrong, and it's hard for me to see it, I always pray, Lord, deliver there. But if I need more deliverance, help me not be afraid to see it. Because our hearts are deceitful, and sometimes you just don't get it. You don't realize, oh, there's an angle here that has made this a little bit more difficult. And now, again, you don't want to be introspective, but you need to be honest before the Lord. But a good, solid time with God and in the Word, frankly, will solve a lot of this reaction to when hurts come into your life. It is just tremendous, because you begin to think from God's perspective, and there's a relief and peace that comes into your heart because you are looking that way. And then verse 7 of Psalm 37, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Now here's one of our big problems. We want it resolved when? Right now, okay. Do things get solved right now a lot of times? No, they don't. Working with people, can you imagine what God has to put up with us? That word long-suffering, God uses it, His long-suffering and merciful. Well, we need to have a long-suffering perspective. And the good news is, that's part of the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering. And so if you truly are controlled by the Spirit, you can wait patiently for the Lord. You know, for a person to be delivered from maybe a wrong spirit that's been hard for you to see or handle, it may take some different things to occur in that life and different divine appointments for that person to be able to come to some deliverance in that area. Now, you want to try to deliver if that's what God tells you to do, but if that is not what you're able to do, then wait patiently on the Lord. And let me just say this. Every time you pray, God does something. I, of course, say this a lot when it comes to praying for the lost. You know, we would love to see something happen right now. But I promise you, if the person you're praying for doesn't get saved today, it doesn't mean that God didn't answer your prayer. If you specifically ask God to work and show His goodness, the goodness of God leads to repentance, and that if the Lord would convict and convince like He promised He would with the Holy Spirit and to work in their life, I promise you, orders from heaven went out for that to occur. And a person who is involved in regular, very Spirit-empowered intercession is bringing to bear on that unsaved person or that Christian that needs help constant working of the Spirit and divine intervention. That's why great intercessors see unbelievable answers to prayer with lost people and with people that are bound in sin, because they're constantly getting God to answer. But we get discouraged. We don't see anything. Well, we're not going to see things initially. Think of the conviction that God's had to place in your heart before you got right with God. People didn't see that, but God was working. And so wait patiently for Him, and that will help an enormous. God is not letting you down. And God may have to purify your motives too. A lot of times we want something settled because we really maybe are overly thinking of our own, our own emotions and our own concerns. Then verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Ephesians chapter 4, we know that passage. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Why? What will happen if you don't deal with your anger? You will give ground, give place to the devil. And so it's very important, because it says here, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. In other words, if you are not waiting on the Lord and patient, and you're allowing yourself to stay frustrated, your heart is going to be an open field for Him to work, and it's going to cause you in your fretting to actually then do evil in your own heart, and maybe even in your own actions and words. It's one thing to be hurt, it's another thing to hurt back, and to say things back. And that's why you've got to allow God to give you the grace to handle that. And so we've got to make sure we're not putting ourselves in a place where we can render evil for evil. Then verse 11, go down a few verses. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. You are right with God. You've had good time of prayer. Your perspective is right. You will be able to live with peace. Did you know if your life's going on fine, you're rejoicing in the Lord, and you've got a deep peace, and there's a quality to your life, do you think the offense that occurred is going to make, you're not being controlled by it anymore. You're fine. Yeah, you should say burden for the person. But if you can get that given to the Lord and not be fretting about it anymore, and you really have peace, well, then there's really no issue. And your prayer for that person can really be pure, can be with the right motive if you are in that kind of place. So the matter of meekness, giving up our rights, we're just not going to be worried about that. We're going to delight ourselves in the Lord. There will be an abundance of peace. We've got to understand it's God who will take care of things, God who is in control. In 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul in chapter 4 says, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. In other words, my key is I've got to be right with God. Let him handle others and realize that I can be at peace with him. And that's where I need to be. I cannot constantly live living in light of the problem of other people, especially as it is in regard to me. Now, if you are offended by someone and you're living there in that situation all the time, then you've got to daily give that to the Lord. And this has to be a very serious matter of not allowing things to build. And that's the hardest thing. That's where bitterness can really come in. But God can do that. And you've got to let God take care of it. As Romans 12:19 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Listen, don't do what God is supposed to do. Now, don't ever want evil for someone, folks. If we all got what we deserved, we don't even want to think about it. Certainly, we ought not render evil for evil, but we ought not want evil for evil. You don't want somebody else hurt. You don't want to rejoice that somebody else is suffering the person that has hurt you. That's a wrong spirit. You can develop the heart of God and really want the best for that person. That's free. It's glorious. And so let God take care of it. You know, honestly, you want God to shower goodness upon that person, because that's the way God can get their attention and show himself. God can do what he wants to reach that person. Don't tell God what to do. God knows exactly what should be done. And if he blesses them, then be okay with it. I mean, you can trust God. And he is concerned. In fact, he may bless them so that you get your own heart right. You know, and that get rid of any wrong spirit that you have. Trust God that what he does really is the right thing. So, the whole conclusion to this matter is that God is the judge, I am not. And we are going to stand, as I said, before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're all going to have that evaluation done in our lives, and we need to realize that every other believer is going to also. And let me say this too. The course of life takes care of a lot of things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And, you know, I grieve sometimes when I see folks and they're not making wise decisions and maybe they're hurtful. And I ask God for mercy. And let me just say, here is one of the best pieces of advice I can give you. You need to put on your regular prayer list someone that you have an unresolved issue with that weighs on your heart. You need to realize there's going to be consequences, and you need to be the deliverer. You need to pray, Lord, bless them, help them. I don't want them to go through anything bad. Would you have mercy upon them? And when you sincerely let the Spirit of God control your heart and cause you to have a love for that person that is obviously supernatural and not want evil to come upon them, but whatever is best for them, to be able to have the blessing of God, you will find yourself freed. And that needs to become a regular part of your prayer life. And that's not what your flesh wants to do. But if you have spent a good time with the Lord before you get to intercession, you'll have no problem doing that. And God will just free your heart. And then when good things happen, you will rejoice. Why? Because that's an answer to prayer. And you might like it to get resolved, and you might like it if they'd see it your way, and you know, you might like things to maybe be resolved in a different way, but if you sense God is working, well then praise the Lord. The end result is we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And it's not about us. It's all about Christ. And he can do and say what he wants to say, and we cannot live life from a self-focus. We've got to have a Christocentric perspective in our life. So this lesson that God is our judge, and then that we've got to let him be the judge and not do that ourselves, is very important. Now, one final area here that's not directly involved, though intimated in the chapter here, is that we can be judgmental in our thinking. We can be critical in our thinking. It may not be that a person has hurt us. This is all dealing with things that are frustrating, hurtful, direct to us, and how to handle that, which is, of course, the biggest issues that we face. But it is important that we do not find ourselves getting critical of other people for whatever reason. And especially to be critical and then say something to somebody else. You know, people act differently than you do. People think differently. They have different stresses. We don't know what's going on. And we just don't need to go walking around judging people when we see them. We're all in this together. You know, one good definition of a church is we're a spiritual hospital. Man, we're all banged up and bruised, you know. Some of you have spiritual arms in a sling here today. Some of you got concussions spiritually. Some of you have got sore feet spiritually, and some of you have had heart problems spiritually. And so we come together, and we could all make a case about everybody here, couldn't we? No, they just don't do this right. They don't do this right. You know, critical, critical, critical. And we might even be right in all that we say. But the point is, let's admit, we're all in trouble and we need help, right? And the whole point is we are on God's side to help one another. We don't need to be critical. Let's don't judge and certainly do not criticize people. That's just one thing that really does grieve the Spirit of God when we find ourselves doing that. In fact, edification, encouragement, find a way to lift somebody up. It's a wonderful thing to be an encourager and not a criticizer. Because what happens is, if you find yourself with the wrong spirit, and then especially if you say something, thou, you become the person that offended. And, well, you don't want to do that. Don't ever do to somebody what's been hard that's been done to you. And do everything you can to be careful of that area. In chapter 14 of Romans, it talks about some of the different perspectives that people had and how we are not to despise. Don't judge your brother, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, it doesn't mean we can't be discerning. We need to be discerning, spirit-filled, realize that's not the right way to go. That philosophy is not right. But I don't need to be negative about the person that has that. I need to have a positive attitude about that. And realize that I need to pray and uphold and encourage and not have a division in my soul that's unnecessary. And so we need to be very careful not to judge and set at naught our brother. Discerning, yes. And of course, major sin, according to 1 Corinthians 5, we do have to separate ourselves until they repent. But other than that, we've got to be very, very careful. Important. This is important. This really gets down to real Christianity. This is where God does a beautiful work in our hearts when we're right. And let me say, the biggest solution of all is prayer. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Pray for those that you're burdened about. Remember, we're to bear the burden, as Galatians 6 says, of the brother that's weak, lest we're tempted ourselves. In other words, we need to pray, bear up their burden, bear our own burdens, as Galatians 6 says, and be the blessing that God wants us to be.